Hey, I'm Loredana.
And I'm Christina.
And welcome to Spirit Says.
Be real, girl.
So we're live. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. So I actually wound up, as this was all happening, I went and I wrote down the stuff in the email that I was, you know, that I had said, like, I know, like, today is, like, test day one.
Yeah.
Because by when we get off of this, now we have to know how we're going to get this onto a podcast, because that'll just be...
Yeah.
Actually, no, I guess because the audio right now will be converted. It'll be converted into an audio, right?
Yeah. That'll be more of my husband yelling at me. And that'll
don't put that in the podcast.
No, that's going in. I want everybody to know. No, I'm just kidding. I forgot. You know when you have something that is over there and you left it there and you can't even figure out where you put it now? Yep. I don't know where it is. Okay.
Yep.
So.
Yes.
Spirit says.
Spirit says. Welcome to our podcast, Spirit Says. Yeah. I feel like that is going to be a work in progress title because I'm not sure.
I mean, I like it. It clicks. And I think for me, what it's about listening. So mm-hmm. I think that's what I like about it. It's like just tuning in and not trying to figure it out on your own, but just like being quiet and tuning in and listening to the spirit. Right. That's what it appealed to me. I have no idea, but once I read it, I was like, oh, Spirit Says. That sounds
amazing. Right. I think the thing is, you know, you get into this world of spirit and enlightenment and you're still human, so you still, and your ego is still there, so you automatically are like, well, wait a minute, if I say Spirit Says, people are going to be like, what are they even talking, like I immediately hesitate thinking, how are other people going to get
right isn't that, you know, funny?
But I think it's just, that's really honestly the theme of our podcast in general, just like we still are human even though we have a practice.
Even
like,
though we're amazing.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, we're always on that fine line of like, you know, like human and living in this world and being like, oh, well, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm supposed to look at it this way, you know?
Yeah. So I was watching that Becoming Human. No, that's wrong. It wasn't the title of it. I'm sorry. Becoming Nobody is what I meant to say.
Oh, Becoming Nobody. Yes, nobody. Right. That's right.
And he was talking about how somebody said, of course, I'm really good at memorizing things, but how somebody had said, this is Ram Dass, who is actually, I guess he's kind of a guru. People like, he would have these beautiful talks to people and talk about his experiences and but just, you know, profound stuff, and he had a great sense of humor. He's passed on, but one of the things he said, one of the teachers or gurus said, how about trying to be human? You know, like we're always trying to become something better than what we are right now, or, you know, to connect, of course, like with this spiritual power that's in us, how about, you know, work on, you know, what is it like to be human?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of what his talk was about was just taking the pressure off of yourself as trying to be something else, something better. Everything that you have, everything that you need is already there.
And
there was another thing that he was talking about with his, he said, I had been to all of these meditations. I'd meditated with real meditators, with, you know, talked to gurus, did all kinds of stuff basically to help move towards enlightenment.
Right.
And then last year I met up with a Harvard colleague, and he said to me after we were talking, he said, you know, you haven't changed a bit.
So how funny. He went through all these things. He sat down with all these like masters and stuff. And then he sees, because I think I think it's like what Rhonda says. It's, you know, we're always trying to reach something. Meanwhile, it's like, why don't we just be who we are? You know, yeah. Like be human. And I think that is the reason why we, like, you'll do your spiritual practice, right, in the morning. Like, mm-hmm. you know, for me, like, I'll do my practice in the morning, and then that's it. Like, once 7 o'clock hits, I'm up, I'm ready to get Stella, you know, to do, you know, get ready for school. And suddenly I'm back to who I am. And it's like, I almost have to remember that, hold on, like, you know, suddenly I'll get agitated at something. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I was just doing a spiritual thing an hour ago. Why did I just become this? So mm-hmm. we shouldn't have to fight it so hard. We shouldn't have to fight so hard to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. If it should just come natural, you know, like it should just be.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because the whole thing is just a constant journey. It's a constant mm-hmm. practice. It's constantly tapping into what are the tools that I can use to come from a place in the situation that I'm in that is more grounded and less just all about emotions and the mind thinking that we have to react in a way that we were not necessarily taught. I'm not trying to blame it on our parents, but like I think maybe we had ideas, you know, like as we have kids, right? If we have a kid and the kid does this and the kid, you know, we think we have to react a certain way in order for them to not do it anymore.
Right.
But what is it to just take a step back and go, okay, you know, think about how you're going to act before you do it. And I think a lot of people forget to take that pause, honestly. Just
because we are in fact human, we are always so quick to jump and go, and I think because we were taught that way. I don't believe every culture is that way. I believe that there are some, like, you know, let's put it out there, we're both from Italian backgrounds, Queens, very mm-hmm. fast-paced city. Yeah. You know, we're always moving. That's just how we were all our lives. And I think that's just how our parents were and their parents, like, it was just always moving. So I truly believe we're not taught the pause. We're not taught that step back, you know? So it's like, but you're right. You would think that a spiritual practice is going to remind you, but you know what you just said is right though, because you might not take the pause, but being aware that you didn't take the pause is already a step in the right direction.
Oh yeah.
So you're already like, oh, wait a minute. I should have taken the pause. So it's like, okay, well, I'll do better next time. Cause there will be a next time. Like we will react the next time.
Let me tell you something. Cadence. Cause you know me, I'm like, you said something that reminds me of something that happened.
Right.
Cadence. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, spilled, because she was playing, she was on her computer, she's got her hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And you know, you only tell your kid 100 times not to put the hot chocolate on the couch. And it's inevitable. Eventually.
By the way, for the people listening, Cadence is Christina's daughter. Stella is my daughter. So yes.
So she, of course, she puts the coffee on our couch, which is that material. I don't know what the heck material is, like, not canvas, but like material that's
but something that's gonna get ruined if a liquid falls on it. Right.
The whole cup of hot chocolate just spilled all over that long side. Right.
So you're like, okay, how do we take a pause from that?
Right. I literally had to like yoga my way through this. I was just like, because you think you're doing the best job the whole time by telling them 100 times,
yes,
don't put it on the couch. The second you look away, it's on the couch.
Yes.
And then they spill everywhere. And now, but what I noticed with myself in that experience is that I want to go back to, and I honestly do not remember my mom yelling at me or anything like that. So this is not like me blaming it on her, but some sort of idea of what it is to be a parent that I have in my head, which is that, you know, I mean, I remember before I even had kids, I would be like, oh, if that was my kid, I would tell her this mm-hmm. and that, if that was my kid. Right. Then you have your own kid, you're like, oh, but they didn't mean it, you know, like.
Yes, right.
But at the same time, like, you know, you want to keep your kid on track. So you want to discipline them in a way that shows love, but also scares them a little.
Yeah.
But what happened was when that had happened, I saw that my daughter was already scared. She was like,
she knew. My life is over. Yes. It's funny so how that happened. Like, yeah.
Did I need to, number one, she got it already. I messed up in a major way because there's brown chocolate all over the couch now. You know, of course you go into instantly get everything clean mode.
Right.
And then that whole time is the opportunity to yell, to scream at your kid, to be like, I told you so. And which I don't even love to do that anyway, as a person, I'm not an I told you so type of person. If you did that, honestly, I wouldn't even be, I'd just be like, it's fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
In my head, I might think it sucks. So why wouldn't I think the same way to my own daughter?
Yeah.
So, but that's, I guess what happens when you're a parent, you think like, you know, you get into this idea that I'm the parent, they have to listen, I have to yell, you know, and so, and I don't want that at all.
So
basically my reaction was get everything clean, notice how she's responding to it. If she was like blasé about it, I think I would feel like, all right, I gotta yell at this kid, you know.
But she was like,
and I said, and then there was at one point where she walked away and I knew she was probably getting something, but then she came back. I said, Kate, you're not even helping me clean this. And then she just started cleaning it. She started to kind of take over and was just cleaning up here. And there was a pillow mess. Of course I use, by the way, if you want to know how to get out hot chocolate from your couch, Resolve, you know, I use
the Right.
And so, but everything went off without me yelling, with her getting it, with her understanding, but without me falling back into an old Christina, an old pattern of what I think needs to be done when this happens. And I feel like we spend a lot of our lives, once we start to realize what we're doing, you know, tap into our spirituality, we start to realize that, number one, something needs to be looked at, something maybe needs to be changed, and we need to work at it. But also, just to throw that in there, don't put too much pressure on yourself because that takes time.
I've got to say that
was worst case scenario in my life. I'm living a pretty easy life. Worst case scenario, my daughter pours hot chocolate all over the couch. Wine would be worse. I'm glad she doesn't drink wine. And I handled it in a way that I felt was a healthy way. She got the message. Whatever needed to be taught was taught.
Yeah.
And I didn't lose myself. I didn't lose my own, like,
because spirit, it takes so much to come down from after that too. Like, it takes a toll. Like, after the accident happened, and then you do the, you know, you do the yelling or the reprimanding, it's not like, okay, now everything's fine again. Like, suddenly now you got to come down from that, and then it's a worry in your head of like, oh my god, what did I just do? I just yelled at her, why did I do this, you know? And you go through these motions, and it's like, you don't even have to go through any of that if, like you said, you take the pause, or you don't even, you just don't go into the yelling. Because I think, as far as parenting goes, it's not that we maybe were taught this way, but I think because we now know that we have responsibility over these children. So in our minds, we think it's fully and completely 100% up to us to make them a decent human being. And if we don't yell at them, that they're not going to be a decent human being. And like, if they turn out to be these terrible kids, we're going to be like, oh my God, it was because of that time I didn't yell at her for freaking spilling the hot chocolate on the couch. And it's like, no, it has nothing to do with that. But you know, you get a better reaction by not yelling than by just saying, you know, all right, let's just, okay, you know, like, it's a couch, we'll just flip the, you know, we'll flip the pillow over, or like, you know, it's, but you know, the thing you said before about the continuing to repeat the same thing, like, why do we repeat? We repeat mostly for ourselves. That has nothing to do with them. Like, I'm always repeating to Stella the same thing. I'm like, Stella, move your cup away from the edge of the table. Stella, move your cup away from the edge of the table. But now, like, I'm literally putting it out there that she's gonna spill that cup, you know. Meanwhile, to her, it's totally fine. So I think we have to step back, like you said, like, take the pause, step back, and you know, like maybe take that spiritual practice into our lives, which I don't do often. Like I do realize that a lot of it takes place on the mat, and maybe the only parts that don't take place on the mat are, you know, like maybe I'll go into the kitchen and I'll listen to some, you know, some spiritual music, whatever. But I mean, I'm not really taking a lot of it outside of this room. This is actually where I practice. So I'm not taking a lot of it out of this room. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's not until if I'm calm, then I can do it. If I'm not calm, then I'm not, you know, like, I, you know, but I think that's the point of this podcast. The point of the podcast is to let people know that they can have a practice and you're not completely zen the minute you leave your mat. You know, you still have to live your life, and you know, but there are moments where you can't, like there are moments where you, like you said, you take the pause. Like to me, the most I've gotten out of my practice is the awareness. I am aware of when I yell. I am aware of when the thoughts come. I am aware, you know, the negative thoughts. I'm aware of if like anger is rising. I'm aware of if I'm jealous of something. So the awareness part of my spiritual practice has definitely come with me into other parts of my life. So
yeah,
I feel like that's already a good step in the right direction.
Absolutely. You know?
So
yeah, no, that's I feel like I personally have been going through a journey. I've been doing yoga since I was 24 years old. I'm old now.
No, you're not. I'm like, no, we're not. We're still those two high school kids.
Yes, that's us. Switch the two numbers around. That's my age. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I have, you know, okay. So I came to the practice of yoga because somebody had said to me, you should do yoga, because my biological father had died. And I was quite a mess. I was acting before at the time. I had really no connection to anything at that point anymore, because it was living in Manhattan. It was such a fast pace, everything. I'm acting, I'm waiting tables. But I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I was happy.
Right.
But you know, I'd been through a bumps in the road and everything, but innately I was just like a person that wanted to be happy, seeked happiness for myself, seeked happiness for others. But when my biological father had died, I started to, you know, there was a lot of unsaid questions about him, but a lot of it also was, what if I lose my mom? What if I lose my dad? The people that raised me, because my stepfather raised me. So what if I lose, and he was my dad. So what if I lose both of them? And I had a lot of unfinished business with the person that had died too. So, you know, I was talking to people. Right. They probably got annoyed with me. They were like, you should do yoga. You know, like, I heard it's good for you, or therapy, one of those two.
Right.
Well, I can afford yoga. So I went to my first yoga class, and it was at Laughing Lotus in Manhattan. I don't even know if they're around anymore. It was by a Black gentleman. He was the place was packed. He was fantastic. I don't even know his name. This person that changed my life.
Oh, crazy. Right. And you didn't think to like take it into reference. You're like, you know, whatever.
No, I was more thinking about myself coming into a class, being the only person that didn't know what the heck was going on.
Right, right.
How, you know, how to do this stuff. But at some point, I was not self-conscious at all. I just was doing
during the practice of that first class. Okay. Yeah. Right.
And
it was a regular vinyasa. It was a regular class.
It was a regular vinyasa. And they would keep those classes nice and long, you know, either an hour and 15, an hour and a half.
Wow. For your first class. Like that's a long class. Yeah.
And so, you know, it was like taking this time to stay in a position and breathe and listen to him tell me to breathe and feeling my body move in different ways. Mm-hmm. And after that class, I walked down the elevator that I had just come up from.
Right.
And onto the streets, the busy streets, which were this crazy manic place. before right. I had walked up into that studio, and I put my feet on the ground, and all of a sudden I felt grounded and connected with wow. everything in the world, and I felt all my cells were open. I just felt like this amazing connection, and I had to go wherever the heck I was going. And yes. I walked down Manhattan streets. Usually you walk down and you're tough, right? I walked down with a big fat smile on my face.
Right.
And yeah, I was yeah. just like, I just wanted to say hello to everybody. I wanted to say, oh God, isn't this great? You know?
Right.
And
right.
I don't do drugs, but nothing wrong with it. But I felt like I
on a high. You were on a high. Absolutely.
Yeah. I felt like everybody could feel what I was feeling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's how
so my now
life was saved, honestly.
Right. So now my question is, what practice did you have, any spiritual practice before this of any sort? Not of yoga, not of meditation. I mean, I'm talking about, like, you know, what was your upbringing when it comes to anything other than yourself, or, you know, yeah. like, what was your thoughts on that?
So when I was in, I guess, second grade, you know, I had to do communion, right? First grade, second mm-hmm, grade. Mm-hmm. And I found out about Jesus. Right. You know, I'm Catholic, so we studied Jesus. And it was this guy that I really related to, in the way of, like, he just wanted people to be happy and love each other and think about each other and be generous and kind. And, you know, and I'm this kid, and I think innately that's what kids want, is just, you know, they like making people happy. They like giving right. things to people.
Right.
My daughter loves drawing pictures and then just handing them to people, and that makes her happy. She asks for nothing back.
Right.
And so the message that he was sending, I was like, yeah, that's common sense. That makes perfect sense. So, you know, I, at the time, was like, I love Jesus, man. Jesus is the man. I still love Jesus, but I was very into it as a
right,
kid.
Right, right, right.
And I was like, and then of course I saw the one of the movies where he gets beat as a kid, and I'm crying hysterical on the couch.
Wow.
Why would anybody do this? Jesus yeah. of Nazareth. That's what it was. And my cousins were like, why is she acting like that?
You're like, that's my bro. Yeah, that's my bro.
Exactly. I'm like, don't you understand? And of course, and it's still to this day, you know, even though I don't go to religion and everything, I still feel like I do have a strong connection mm-hmm. with Jesus and with the man that I want to talk to, whether, you know, it's a man or a woman or, you know, right. whatever. Whether it's Mother Nature, because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't sit there and think about, I don't worry about the image. I right. just, because I can feel that connection. Mm-hmm. So I've always had this kind of, like, talking to God, thanking God, feeling like God is on my side, mm-hmm. feeling this, God's giving me a lesson here. This terrible thing happened. What is the lesson God is trying to teach me right now?
Right, you know? Right.
What's he offering for me? What do I have to learn from this? So I feel like I'm lucky in that way, that I was never really, like, pessimistic about God. I always just kind of was like, no, God's on my side. This thing happened because I have to learn from it in order to become.
That's crazy better. That you knew that already, you know, like it's you know, a lot of people don't see God that way, you know, or God at all when you're going through a lesson, you know, or that it's a lesson at all when you're going through something terrible. They're like, oh my God, my life sucks. You know, like, so for you right. to understand that at such a young age already, and to have that connection, like, that's
it's like, I believed, you know? It, and I wanted to believe it, and I still want to believe it. And I think as long as you want to believe something, or you
absolutely,
believe it,
absolutely. It's
true,
yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so, you know, like, when I was walking through the streets of Manhattan, I always had God on my side.
Right. Right.
God was hanging out with me. I was never alone. I mean, you know, sometimes you want to be alone. God's not
yeah,
there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Right. Yes. But that's the beauty, right? Like, it's almost like it's not this, he's not, I call him not an intrusive God, you know, I'm not yeah. like, you know, freaking out, like, thinking, oh my God, like, he's there, you know, like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not like a stranger standing in the corner of the room.
Yes. Yes. Right.
But he does help me pause. He does help me reflect on the things that I did. Mm-hmm. And so then that led to a spiritual practice. I think my vision of God got bigger when I got into yoga too, you know, but I did. So I didn't make my confirmation as a little kid, but then I did go back when I was in my 30s to make my confirmation because it was something that I always wanted to do. I couldn't make it when I was younger because my mom couldn't get me there. There was no way for me to transport there. So, so then when I went back into, I guess to make my confirmation, I had these really interesting conversations with the father or brother that was
But that's the beauty of doing it older because you get to actually have conversations, you know, as opposed to a child who's learning religion, they're being taught, they're being told something. They don't really have the words to have questions or whatever. So now in, as a 30-year-old, you're like, I have questions. I can have, you know, have a conversation, you know?
And I did ask him a lot of questions. It was great, you know, like, but it did lead me to want to have more of an individual spiritual practice or practice where I went with people that I had all different kinds of practice, like non-denominational, more so than staying specifically in the Catholic Church, because I just wasn't interested in I felt like when I go to church, I would sit there and I would listen to them, and I couldn't hear what the priest was saying anyway.
You were being preached at, and not, you know, you weren't preaching with, you know?
Yeah. I never made the connection. Of course, anybody that has made that connection, like, more power to them. That's fantastic and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, but I will tell you recently, you know, as a yoga teacher, I had one of my students come up to me and they say, do you pray? And I said to him, every step I take is a prayer.
Right.
Everything the praying never stops. Mm-hmm. I'm always connected with God.
Right.
You know? So do I have conversations with God? Yeah, I do have specific conversations with God. Do I thank God and everything? Yeah. But I'll tell you, God is with me constantly, so I don't personally feel the need to sit at the end of my bed, put my hands together, mm-hmm. and pray.
Right.
You know, every once in a while, yes, I will pray. Yes, I will do, you know, some Hail Marys, just because I was brought up that way, and it feels good, like I'm giving God something back.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel that, much like I feel like the yoga never stops.
Right.
I feel like the prayer never stops either. The prayer never stops.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
But anyway, what about you? When did religion come into your life, Lori?
So I guess, I mean, I've always felt connected to God. I grew up very differently. I grew up in the Jehovah's Witness religion, as you know, mm-hmm. But I always had a strong connection to God within that religion, although that is a very, I don't like using the word cult because I still respect those that are in it. So, you know, mm-hmm. like my mother, so I don't like to use that word, but it was a very strict religion. However, I was one of the luckier ones that grew up around, you know, all my brothers were in it, my mother, whatever, not my dad. And I grew up around nice, good people, you know, I mean, you know, they're just, it was a good community of people. So I never saw anything wrong with it. I began to see things wrong with it as I got older into my teens, because, you know, as a teen, you have different, you know, you start to come into your own. So, you know, the religion, they teach you not to date outside of your religion. But as you know, I was trying to date somebody who was Jewish, and that was completely forbidden.
But successfully. So.
Right. So, I mean, you know, like, I started to have a lot of doubts within the religion. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of doubts, a lot of things that I just did not agree with. But for some reason, it kept coming back. So the way I was taught God through that religion was that you needed to fear him. And if you didn't do the proper things, that he was a judging kind of God.
Mm-hmm.
Except as much as I was being taught that, I knew here, like in my heart, that that was not true, because I just had this like complete connection to God. And it was always God. I always had a connection to God. Not that I didn't have a connection to Jesus. We were very much taught about Jesus as well. But there was something about, for me, God was it. Like God was, to me, he looked like, he was a male. He still is a male, like a big father figure looking guy with like white hair. And it's just like, you know, wants to hug you. Like that's how I envisioned. Yeah, pretty much, right? Without the red hat. And so I would say around 20, in my 20s, I finally was like, I can no longer be a part of this religion. So I left. And that was a long road, because it's just, that's a story for another time, because leaving mm-hmm. is not as easy. And I always wanted to meditate. So I would meditate often, except because of the religion, they teach you that meditation is wrong, because what meditation does is what the religion teaches you is that meditation keeps your head, like it opens you up to other things entering you, right? Because they're being taught that meditation, they're being taught in the wrong way. They're being told that meditation.
Are you a witch if you
meditate? Meditation like keeps your mind blank, and it keeps you open to other entities entering you. Mm-hmm. So therefore they taught us that meditation was wrong. So I didn't really get into meditation. And I was kind of like, I guess, sneaking it in. And when I would do it, like when I would meditate, and for me, meditation was like listening to a guided one, or, you know, sitting down mm-hmm. myself for 10 minutes, I felt really, 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 really good. So, but it was always an on and off thing for a very long time, an on and off thing. And then I didn't really get into yoga until about 2016. I was living where I am now, up here, upstate New York. And I was going through a really, really, really tough time. I've always battled with, like, you know, anxiety and depression. And 2016 was a terrible, terrible time. And my friend Danielle was like, you know, you should come to yoga with me. And I'm like, and I had always been to that point, I was always a runner. So running for me was a meditation. I just felt wonderful running, you know, but to me, that was like a form of like I just said, meditation. So when she brought up yoga, I was like, yoga. I was like, oh my God. I was like, all right, whatever. I was like, you know, to me, yoga was like, we're stretching. Like, what's it going to do for me? And I'll never forget. I went to my first class. It was Millbrook Yoga. They're still here. And the teacher's name is Samantha. And I remember sitting down, and the class started with an intention. And she read a poem. And I wish I could remember the poem, but I do remember crying as she's reading the poem.
Oh, wow.
And we sat there in like a Baddha Konasana, and you know, I just sat there crying, and I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm gonna cry for the next hour or so. So I did the class, I went through the whole thing. There was only a few of us in there, and I remember, you know, getting up to leave and thinking, you know, the anxiety started to come back all of a sudden. Like I left the class, and I felt so good in the class because the energy of those people. And I remember opening the door, needing to leave, and going, oh my God, now I'm going to go home, and I'm going to be by myself. And, you know, all like the, you know, mm-hmm. the negative thoughts that are coming back. But I tried to center myself again. I went home. And from there on, I started taking yoga for, like, it was like a one time a week thing. But I noticed that every time I would go back, I wanted more. So I started doing I'm a big researcher. I love to research. And I thought, well, what if I just did this on my own? Like, you know, can I do yoga on my own? And that's sort of how I started my own, you know, home practice, which is what I still do now. So like yoga for me is one of those things. It's like drinking water. You know, you get up, you got to have your glass of water. Mm-hmm. If I don't do it, I don't feel like I can accomplish things for the day. So that's sort of how yoga came into my life. So meditation came first, and then yoga followed many, many, many years after. Like what you were saying about God before, like I do very much have a very strong connection, and like prayer, like your student who asked you if you pray, like that's part of my practice. Like that's mm-hmm. just like, it's just one of those things where I, you know, it just comes natural to me. So yeah, definitely. That's what's for me. Spirit is God. That's who God, you know, that's who spirit is for me. So
yeah. And first of all, I wanted to say you were in, I don't know if you use the right word, Baddha Konasana, bound angle pose, when you first started to cry or to feel like the emotion.
Yeah.
Your feet were together.
Yes.
Okay. So actually, by the way, Baddha Konasana is, you know, a hip opener, and we hold a lot of
our emotions. That's where our stuff is, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting too. If you like reflect on that, and you know, sometimes I have classes that I teach, people don't even like going into the hip openers. If I do a full hip opener class, I will get mixed reviews. Some people will love it.
Right.
Some people will be like, that was rough for me.
And well, it's funny that you say that, because, okay, so 2016 was a rough year, because I don't know what, but like in January, like I just had a big, like life was wonderful and great. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like January hits and I have a big downfall. Like I go right into a depression, a really bad depression. And at the time I was feeling like a very annoying pain in my left hip. And it was just like one of those annoying pains. I couldn't let it go. And I even went to the doctor for it, and she was like, no, there's nothing wrong with you. And it was my friend Danielle, who actually she does bone therapy. And she's the one who sort of like did some sort of like massage on there, and like it helped me out. But it's funny because at the time, like I said to you, I'm a big researcher. I was looking up why I had pain in my hips. Mm-hmm. And what the spiritual meaning was. I would always look up spiritual meanings of things. And the spiritual meaning, like you just said, to the pain in my hips, was that I needed to move forward with something, and if something was holding me back. Mm. And so it's funny that you say that I was sitting in Baddha Konasana and she was doing the meditation. I just like immediately started crying. And that pain lasted for pain. I say it was pain. It really wasn't painful. I think it was more a spiritual pain than it was an actual physical pain, you know, because once I started practicing and stuff, I mean, it all went away. So it's funny how you can definitely hold how a spiritual pain can definitely come out as a physical ailment.
Well, that's what's so cool about when you're doing yoga and you're, you know, people, when you have people come into their class and they come in with all different things, like, it's amazing. If you sit there and you go, hey, what made you start doing yoga? A lot of people come in because there is something that happened that is causing some pain in their life.
Trauma and stuff, right? Yeah.
Go of, or, you know, and it's amazing because especially when you're teaching a yoga class and you think, okay, I'm teaching these people yoga because I love yoga. It's amazing. And it feels good. And then they keep coming back, and they keep coming back, and you're like, yes, they get it. They understand yoga. Yeah. And then you find out they're there for a big fat reason. Mm-hmm. And they have their own purpose. They have their own path, and it's much deeper than just like wanting to look good in a bikini or wanting to
right. But yeah. It's so true, because I think so much of yoga on this side of the world has been messed up in that sense, like me, like I really didn't think that yoga had an emotional aspect to it. I had no idea that it would tap into my emotions or tap into my mental health. Like I had no idea. I just thought, you know, all right, fine, I'll do some yoga. It'll, you know, help me stretch and whatnot. So yeah, it's so true. Like there's just so much more to it. And I wish, and I hope that the goal for us with this podcast is to get that out there, that there's so much more than just some poses and, you know, because we've also talked about, you know, the point of yoga is not to get into handstand. It's not to get into, whatever, like it's just like the point of meditation is not to get into, you know, like, you know, you
enlightenment.
Don't become you're sitting that
there, I mean, thinking about I'm going to be enlightened, when am I going to be enlightened, this is going to happen
right now.
Here it comes,
right, here right. It it's comes. Like you said at the beginning of this podcast, it's a journey, it's a road, it's a practice, you don't get to an end point. There's no end point to this. I think there's just more learning, there's more education, there's more to do.
So what I've actually learned throughout my years of doing yoga and you know, when I first started out, you know, when you first start doing a yoga practice, it's all about getting the moves down. Then it's about like, okay, cool, I can do this. Let's see if I can get better at this pose or that pose. You know, the whole time, because the teacher's teaching you stuff in secret, you know, you're secretly, you know, aligning the chakras, like doing stuff that's good for yourself, like taking time to notice
your breath. It's a good way to look at it. I didn't think about that, but
like, you know, you think you came here to do girl pose, but guess
right. There's a whole other thing I'm teaching you here. It's in my notes. It's right in my notes.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, there's a whole reason behind this. And, you know, there's something that you need to get over, and that's, you're going to figure out what that is, and you're going to help yourself get over it. But in my own practice, what I realized that for me, yoga, as far as the spirit is concerned, is what yoga is to me is freeing up the body so that the spirit can be free to move around and enjoy this vessel that it's in, because and to feel and connect, you know, I mean, you're doing your grounding poses to pull the spirit into the body so that you're not like flighty, your head's not all over the place, you're not thinking of 500 different things. So you do tree pose and standing poses and stuff, and then of course, you know, all the other chakras have different things that meaning you could find out where there's an imbalance and stuff like that. But altogether, it's like, how can I do yoga and be free in my practice? Freedom from criticism, freedom from worrying if I'm going to fall or if I'm going to do it perfect. But just, you know, once you have done your yoga practice, and if you do it in a way that you've decided, okay, this is what my practice is dedicated to today. For instance, for me, I do like to do a lot of, you know, freedom, or maybe even specifically focusing on my breath, because I know that it helps to build my concentration, or maybe getting out of my head. You know, those are all the things that you want to do when you're in a yoga practice. Once you start to get the moves down, it's like, focus on the breath, focus on your drishti, let go of yourself, right? And then that feeling, you do want to take that off the mat. You do want to go, you don't want to just switch back to your old patterns and go, it's okay to change. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's okay. Like, I think as New Yorkers, as Queens girls, I think we might be a little bit afraid of change, because we, you build this armor because you don't want to be the idiot in the room. You don't want to be the person that says the dumb thing. And we're afraid to be that person, because it is a, you know, a very smart, witty, quick type of place to grow up in. But at the same time, the person that's the happiest is the one that's free and doesn't care what people
Right.
And they're the ones that they're, if I see a student, I don't care if they know all the poses. I don't care if they, you know, when I tell a student that I love their practice, when I see them just letting go.
Yes.
Completely in there.
And as a teacher, I'm sure you see that, because it's funny, because you'll see the teacher who, like, I watch it sometimes myself, like I'll watch the teachers, you know, that I watch on YouTube or whatever. And they're, and they go to, like, to me, the person that's doing the pose looks perfect doing it, but then the teacher will go and like help and adjust and whatever. And I'm like, that's because the teacher sees something. You know, you're obviously seeing something. You're seeing the one that's free. You're seeing the one that's trying too hard, or you see the one that is just like, you know, needs a little like, or the one that like, I used to notice, I remember taking yoga classes and then like the teacher would come up and like adjust me. And I, and my immediate thinking was, oh my God, I'm not doing it right. But it wasn't that, it's because the teacher sees the potential in you. So they're just helping you, you know, like stretch a little higher, stretch a little, you know, a little longer, because they see that you can do it.
Hopefully, right?
Yes, yes, hopefully yes. Doing, and it's to help you open up more. You know, most of the moves are to open yourself up, like you said, to make the space, right? So the teacher's just helping you do that, not to get into some perfect pose, you know?
Right.
So,
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that's the case, because I'm not going to lie to you, there, you know, there's all different kinds of yoga teachers, and there are yoga teachers that can be a little bit intrusive. They don't realize that just to hold the space, like you said, just okay. hold the space for the person. That's our job, is just to, you know, share with them what we've learned, but also to hold the space and not right. think that because this is what we were taught, this is all the alignment thing that we're taught, that their body is supposed to do that.
Right.
You don't want to force somebody's hips into a position just because you think, well, that's where you're going. It's not.
Okay.
It's
not necessarily okay. right.
where they're going.
Right.
So
right.
at the
right.
same time, when you're in a yoga class and you have somebody adjust you, you do want to make sure that you're tuning in and listening to what your body says. Is this okay? Am I comfortable doing this? And if
right.
whatever they wanted to offer you doesn't work, you can nix it and you can just be like, oh, no, thank you. You know, but right. I think first and foremost, you should always think about tuning in and listening to yourself and saying to yourself, does this feel good? Does this work for me?
Mm-hmm.
Is this okay for me? You know, right. not just 100% put your trust in somebody else's hands. Of course, once you feel like, yeah, this is a trustworthy yoga teacher.
True. Yes.
Probably let your guard down. You know?
Right. Right,
but I've had situations where I was like, I want to work at this yoga studio and I love this lady and everything is new and it's new ways of thinking of things. And I started doing low lunge in a specific way. And then I started to get a back pain from trying this new thing out.
Yes.
And what I realized is like, I had no foundation. This lady wasn't teaching me about the foundation of the pelvis whatsoever. She was just saying,
okay,
this, you know. So you do have to be careful about, you know,
the authenticity, right? Like how authentic are the poses? Like, are we just trying to get into a look, or are we actually trying to open, make,
what's the purpose of the pose?
What's the purpose?
Right.
Yes.
That's
yes. Well, that's why, like,
yeah.
when we talk about different types of yoga, right? There's like power yoga and there's, I don't even know, like all these other yogas that sometimes come, like, I think we lose the root of yoga. We lose the root. We lose the root poses. We lose the root. And really the root of yoga, as I've been taught, is that you do the practice in order to quiet your body and your mind enough to get into a meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely. You want to quiet your mind.
Yeah, exactly. So for me to get into a hot yoga class and like do all these power moves and then, all right, let's go into Shavasana. Like, I'm not ready for Shavasana at that point. I'm like, you know, like ready to go crazy. Like I think that comes with time, because like you, when I first started, it was about like, okay, am I doing this right? Am I not doing this right? Da, 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 da. You know, I mentioned this to you before that, you know, I would be interrupted, you know, doing a class, you know, doing something here at home, and Tony would walk in, or, you know, Stella would walk in. I'm like, but now I realize like, that's almost like a lesson in life. Like you're going about your day, you're going about your poses, and then you get interrupted. How are you going to react to that? Are you going to react and be like pissed that you were interrupted, or you're just going to be like, okay, this is just
and
how
life
is. And that
takes work. It's not an overnight thing.
Absolutely. Yes.
When I'm in downward facing dog, my husband would come up to me from behind and think he was the funniest thing. And I would be like, you just ruined it, you know?
Right.
And it's just kind of like that idea of accepting that you can change yourself, but you can't change that person. Of course, you can tell them, you know, please don't do that.
You
know, I don't want you to do that. But like, when you allow that to become some sort of aggravation, now you've just basically just hurt yourself, and you might have hurt other people too, but you know, like, it's that ahimsa, non-harming, right? You don't want to hurt yourself, you don't want to hurt the other person, and you know, everybody's just trying to give love, you know,
even
if it's annoying sometimes. So you know, like, my mother just walked in here and I was just like with the hand up, like, ha ha ha.
Uh-huh.
Luckily my mom is like one of those people that gets the message, and didn't force her, you know, way. But you know, not everybody's like that.
Some
people, you know, and we have to sit here and be like,
but we have to find the grace.
Yeah.
We have to find the grace in that. Like, I have to feel on this. Because you know what? It's funny. If you don't, like, at the beginning, when I used to get mad at the interruptions, I then would not be able to go back into my practice. And then I felt like a fake, because then I'm like, oh my God, I just yelled at so-and-so for interrupting me. Now I got to go back into this pole. You know, like, then you start getting into your head.
Yeah.
So it's like, have grace, because that's how life should be too. Have grace in life. You're going to have interruptions. You're going to have downs. You're going to have moments where things aren't working out, and it's just, you're going to have to flow with it. You're just going to have to go with it. You know,
and that's like you said, the lesson. That's what mm-hmm. I feel like when God is like, here's your lesson for today. You know, right, the next day, the same crap happens. We're going to review. I'm gonna review this. Third day, right, you're like, all right, you failed. No, I'm just kidding.
You are not listening. Let's try this one more time. And then it's like, finally, like, oh, you're talking to me.
Okay. But like, how many people have you met that are like doing the same stuff over and over and over and over again, blaming the same people over and over and over again? And you're like, dude, you got to figure out what the lesson is.
They're not, because I think your fears come in. You don't want to hear it. I think the fears come in. You don't think it's for you, and you, and there's just too much ego. There's just too much ego there to know that it's about you.
But ego, you know, is the like the evil. I don't want to say, what did I just say? I sound like I said three different things there. The person, the evil, everything I'm trying to avoid saying. But yeah, the ego is that person, that other part of you that you're trying to take a look at it and
like quiet it a little bit and be like, all right, I got this, like, we don't, you know, yeah, because I know at the beginning with the whole ego thing, and we could talk about that one day too, about like the ego and the shadow death and all that, like, I thought that you were supposed to like kill the ego off altogether, but you're really not. Like, that's just something that's going to go with you all through your life. I think you just need to be, like you said, like, be aware of it. Like, you know, it's there. Okay, I'm not listening to my ego. I'm going to listen to, you know, what my heart is telling me to do, you know? So, have we gone over like the 45 minutes here?
I feel like it's Tuesday. I'm just taking this opportunity.
Are people still listening? Are you guys tuned in?
I think we've managed to help people get to sleep, so that's good. The Listen to Us and Fall Asleep podcast. We should change the name. The Falling Asleep podcast. No, I'm just like excited that I have the opportunity. I get to be like, listen, we're going to do a podcast so I can talk to you.
And you have to shut up and listen. Exactly.
Whoever wants to listen to how amazing we are, please tune in. You're gonna love it.
Oh my god! All our old high school
listening to this again.
High school people that like couldn't stand us then are gonna tune in and be like, they're gonna write in. Get them off while you guys.
Stop. We heard them yapping enough to themselves in high school. Are they exactly still doing that?
Oh my goodness. Oh man.
All right. So how should we end this?
I guess we'll end it right here. I mean, you know, tune in next time. We'll next Monday.
Tune in, because it's going to be an amazing episode. Next week. We've got amazing things happening. I'm not going to tell you.
And I guess if there is a way, we will figure this out, since this is day one. If there's a way that you can type in your questions, or you have anything that you want us to talk about, we will talk about that. But
there'll be a lot of shut up.
Right, exactly.
Stop. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously?
I'm trying to be funny. I'm not being insecure. Calm down. That's my inner voice.
Oh man. So
So thanks for joining us today.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm Christina.
I'm Loredana. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Namaste.
Namaste. All right. Get the record off.